Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause. And today's episode is all about sinus congestion and how those nasal problems can lead to headaches and migraines, and how all of these things are signs that your body's screaming at you saying, you're putting something in me that's irritating me. So I like to think of today's episode as a major public service announcement to pay attention to your body, to get more in tune with your body. Because a lot of times we'll flux with sinus congestion and we'll think, oh, it's just a cold coming on, or we can blame it to the environmental allergies. But in reality, it could actually be that your body's saying, hey, I don't like this particular food, or I don't like this particular item in my environment. And that's a big deal because of a couple different things. Our sinus tissue in particular is super delicate and sensitive. It's really our protective mechanism against invaders. Our mouth tissue inside our mouth, inside our throat, is also very sensitive because it's our first line of defense against invaders that we inhale or put in our mouth. Same thing with the sinuses, what we inhale going up into the nose. But also, the sinuses are connected to your airway in terms of your breath, but also in terms of your mouth. So your sinuses and your gut are connected. Think about that for a moment. I was going to say chew on that for a moment, but yeah, that's too silly. Now, if we think about that, the fact that your gut skin and your sinus skin and your mouth skin is really all very similar. It has very similar attributes. And in particular, they're all mucous membranes, meaning that they can secrete mucus. We all know what mucus is, and mucus is what causes the congestion in our nasal passageways. How do we get to that point? Well, we have to release something called histamines. Histamines are proteins, and they're our body's warning signal that something's up, it's irritated. So imagine that you get a molecule, could be a molecule of food, it could be an inhaled molecule, say ragweed. It gets into your nasal passages and up to your sinuses. It gets in your mouth and into your throat. The first warning signs that we've encountered something we don't like is usually we're going to get an itchy sensation or a scratchy sensation in the throat, or we're going to either get a runny nose or a stuffy nose. Then it turns into headachey kind of symptom. Then it can blow into a full-blown migraine. Now, a lot of us that suffer from chronic headaches and migraines have never put the connection together that sometimes before we get the headache, we might feel pressure in our face or our nose or sinus area, and then it develops into a headache. So it's almost like we need to become more aware of the sequence of events that lead up to these episodes. Same goes with migraines. Now, a lot of people with migraines, and I'm going to back up a bit because I know a lot of people are like, well, I wake up in the middle of the night with migraines. Yes, that's true. So how can you figure out the triggers? Well, A lot of times it's figuring out what you ate before you went to bed, or what you exposed yourself to before you went to bed, or what is going on in your bedroom. Like, what's going on with mold growing in your walls? What's going on with dust mites? Not many of us go out and buy dust covers for our pillows and for our mattresses. A lot of us sleep with our animals. I pretty much would tell anybody to go to hell if they told me that my golden retriever could not hang out in bed with me. In fact, we bought a king-size bed just so Bear, the amazing golden retriever, can hang out in our bed and push us all over the place so that we have 2 inches to sleep on the bed. And you know what? I'm totally okay with that. But I do realize that that is another allergen that is in my bedroom. So what does that mean? That means I have to clean my sheets more often, my comforter, and, you know, the duvets, et cetera, et cetera. So something to keep in mind if you like to sleep with your pets, because it is another level of amount of allergens that's kind of going into the mix. So let me rein myself in a little bit here, because I'm kind of jumping all over the place on you. The bottom line of today's podcast is that there's multiple different factors that come into play to cause chronic nasal congestion, to cause chronic headaches, and to cause migraines. And what it boils down to is that these common factors, whether it is environmental, whether it is food related, whether it is leaky gut related, they all work together to create histamines in your body. It depends how many different factors you're sensitive to as to how much histamine production is made. Typically, the way I see this on a scale is that sinus congestion or runny nose is kind of the lower level of inflammation in the body. So meaning the lower level that these invaders irritate your body. And invaders, I mean bacteria, viruses, could be funguses as well. Or it could be allergens, environmental stuff, whether it's mold, whether it's ragweed, dog dander, cat dander, whatever it may be. These are on a lesser degree. When we start getting to chronic headaches and we get to migraines, now you are an individual that is very sensitive and your body is very eager to kick off histamines from these things called mast cells. So think of it in a spectrum. All right, let's talk about these sinuses for a second, because I think a lot of people don't really understand what their sinuses are or where they're located. We just know that there are some and they're in our head. Now, there are 8 sinuses total. They are pockets, they're airways. So they are holes literally in your skull that allows for aeration, but also allows to create the voice that you have in terms of resonance. I have a deeper voice, perhaps my sinuses are a little bit more closed or something of that nature. Now, it's also, you can tell that when someone has a cold or when someone's stuffed up, because it changes that vibration of their voice. So these 8 sinuses, I want everybody, please don't do this while you're driving, but anybody who's not driving, I want you to touch the areas, because when I used to teach anatomy and physiology, I loved it when people get that connection with touch and the location of these areas. So don't worry, nobody's paying attention to you. They won't know what you're doing. You can pretend like you're scratching your face. So let's start at the top. So in your forehead there, above your eyebrows, and like literally in line with your eyes, right above is your frontal sinuses. You've got 2 of them, 1 on each side. They're matching. So touch that area. That's your frontal sinuses. So if you have a headache that chronically is kind of across the front of your head, it could be an issue with your frontal sinuses. Now, the other thing to think about is that you have muscle here. It's going from your forehead up through a tendon over your head and going back to the base of your skull and connecting in with your muscles at the back of your neck. So if these frontal sinuses are irritated, sometimes they can irritate the muscle too. And now you've got double trouble, right? Which is where that headache kind of comes in. All right, so now you know where your frontal sinuses are. Next, we're going to go to the maxillary sinuses. These are your ones that are on your top of your cheeks. So your cheekbones. Touch those guys for a second. These guys are the ones, when they fill up, they cause teeth pain. So kind of the jaw pain, achy jaw, tooth pain. Now, they can be confused with an actual toothache, meaning an actual infection or abscess in the teeth. So obviously, when you have these types of symptoms, go get it checked out by your dentist too to make sure that all is good. But these are your maxillary sinuses. They're your cheeks. So poke those guys for a second. All right, so if you have headaches here, then you know that it's possibly your sinuses, your maxillary sinuses causing trouble. Now, your neck sinuses are on either side of the bridge of your nose. So kind of where your nose connects in here to your, I guess your face, for lack of a better term. And so you've got two sets of sinuses really that are kind of in this area, because you've got sphenoid sinuses and you have ethmoid sinuses. And your sphenoid sinuses are oftentimes the ones that I like to think of sphenoid and ethmoid really as the, they cause headaches big time. And they're the ones that are the deep, deep, deep sinuses. And when we differentiate between sphenoid and ethmoid sinuses, the number one thing to think about is that your sphenoid sinuses, these suckers are behind your eye. And so if you get a headache behind your eye or your migraines come out behind your eye, that's your sphenoid sinuses. And they're bilateral, so both sides behind your eyes. Your ethmoid sinuses are at that bridge of the nose where I was talking about there. I was making it a little confusing, and I apologize. Ethmoids are really there at the bridge of the nose on either side, and the sphenoids kind of connect out to behind the eye if you want to differentiate between those two. So sometimes we'll have issues with vision when we have a headache. I am not entirely convinced that our issues with vision are not related to our sinuses filling up. Because imagine your sinus is covered with mucosal tissue, so it's covered with skin. And that same skin can secrete mucus. And then that mucus builds up in addition to more blood flow to that area because it's irritated. Now that closes that area off. And so it doesn't allow for resonance, so we sound stuffed up. But imagine more fluid in an area, more histamines in that area. If that area is close to your optic nerve, you could have issues with vision. So there you have it. Now, thinking that through, what I've seen over my course of over a decade of practice is that I have a lot of patients who have sinus issues but complain of kaleidoscope-like headaches. And yes, we want to make sure that there's nothing wrong with them neurologically, but a lot of times if I figure out the cause of the sinus irritation, meaning they're not digesting their food well, they're being exposed to too many environmental toxins, meaning either too much mold, too much ragweed, too much cat dander, and that on top of having an allergy to dairy and gluten, this individual is having not necessarily a migraine related to a tight muscle or things of that nature. It's a migraine related to inflammation in the sinuses that creates more histamines in the rest of the head, then will cascade into tightening up muscles. Now, a lot of us have jaw issues that we're stressed, we tighten our jaw, but I'm also starting to look at a connection between tight jaw muscles and chronic inflammation in the mucosal tissue in the mouth and throat because of chronic allergies. So let's go into this mucosal tissue a little bit more and kind of explain it, because I think for a lot of people, it's kind of this magical tissue that exists and, you know, okay, it creates allergic response. So look at your skin on your hand. The skin on your hand is really not much different than your mucosal tissue. The only difference is that your skin on your hand isn't going to secrete mucus, but your mouth is. So this skin is inside your mouth. You've maybe seen your skin inside your mouth when you've got really excited about eating a piece of pizza, burned your mouth, and then the skin started to drape down and fall off. I mean, I can't imagine I'm the only person that's ever had that happen to them, but you've seen your skin there. Looks just like your regular skin if you've ever had a sunburn and your skin's peeled off. It looks the same. Now, let's go back into details. Your skin, even your skin that you're looking at on the back of your hand, can release mast cells. Not mast cells. They have mast cells. They can release histamine. When we release histamine, the reaction is that skin's going to become red in that area and it's going to become itchy. Now, it can just become itchy first, then turn red because you scratched it. And really what's happening here is that histamine is triggering blood flow. So we're opening up blood vessels to the skin. And when we get that blood vessels opened up, we are also going to get more blood flow. So now we're going to have swelling. So imagine that this is happening inside your sinuses, and you know where your sinuses are, the frontals, and you know where the maxillaries are on the cheeks, and you know that the ethmoids are on either side of the nose, and you know that the sphenoids are behind. Sorry, I just said that backwards. No, I did say it right. Ethmoids are on either side of your nose, and the sphenoids are behind your eye. Now, you know where they're located. Now, imagine that you've come into contact with something that you're allergic to. And when I say allergy, I'm not talking about an immediate reaction here. This can happen because we know immediate sensitivity reactions, you know, throat swelling, we know we need EpiPen emergency situation. I'm talking about a delayed reaction here because most of us who have chronic sinus congestion and we have runny noses and we have migraines or headaches, we don't think of this as you know, a dire emergency situation, except for the migraines in some cases. But let's back up a minute. All of these situations that are coming to fruition here are a delayed sensitivity reaction. Once again, I wanted to go back to this is the gradation, right? We have a moderate type of reaction with sinus congestion and chronic headaches, a extreme reaction when we're looking at migraines. Think of a migraine as borderline an emergency reaction of histamines in your body. It's just a very large amount of histamines being released. That's a migraine in its basic sense here. And if we think of it in terms of how it develops from sinus congestion to headache to migraine, it's literally based on the gradation of histamines being released and the amount of mucus being released and the amount of blood flow going to the area where that bacteria, virus, fungus, toxin, allergen is causing its trouble. So essentially what I'm trying to say is a migraine is an advanced release of histamines that your body is creating in response to an invader. So this mucus stuff, it's a protective slippery coating. What it does is it's made to bind up whatever the irritant is. Maybe it's yeast, maybe it's bacteria, maybe it's a fungus, maybe it's a mold. It's going to bind it up and help you to get it out of the body. The problem is that we often don't have great ways to get this mucus out of our sinuses effectively. One, we might be lazy and don't like to blow our nose, so we like to do... Everyone knows who those people are in their offices. Totally annoying. Just blow your dang nose. I don't care if you wipe it on your sleeve. Just saying. But those people need to get it out. One of the best ways to help keep clearing mucus out of the body is not to use Flonase. Flonase is not the answer. You need to clear this crap out. Things like a neti pot or a Neil Med nasal rinse solution. Or if that stuff doesn't work for you, and I'll be straight up honest, the neti pots and the Neil Med nasal rinses for me cause me to throw up because I have a really weak gag reflex. So what I have to do is I am working on getting oils into my nasal passageway. And by that, I mean, I'm not dripping oil in and letting it run over from one sinus to the other. What I'm doing is taking an essential oil that's in a carrier. So either almond oil or coconut oil. And I'm taking a Q-tip and I'm inserting it as far as I can up my nose, twirling it around, doing that to the other side to get those molecules of the essential oil up into my sinuses. So I will do that. Now, that is for those of you that can't do the nasal rinses. Now, the other big thing with this mucus there is it's helpful to a point, but when the mucus sits and we don't move it, and the other way we don't move it is our face muscles are too tight. Our jaw is too tight. Our neck is too tight. We're not able to drain the lymphatic system. So I really do recommend lymphatic drainage, just tiny little gentle motions on the neck to get the lymphatic system moving down. Now, this mucus, it's beneficial. It has white blood cells in it to help to kill those invaders. But if it's something like a food molecule or a mold, we can't necessarily kill that effectively. Mold is tricky. If you live in a damp environment, such as the Great Northwest or perhaps the Midwest, it's hard, or East Coast even, it's hard to kill those molds because we have a lot of them that unfortunately build up and cause irritation. This is where those nasal rinses are beneficial to try to work with. Now, going back to food, those white blood cells in your mucus can't necessarily kill food molecules. Now, obviously, unless you're goofing around with spaghetti and trying to get it to come out your nose, you're not going to be inhaling anything through your nose. It's going to be going into your mouth. But interestingly enough, if you're not able to digest your food properly, meaning you're eating too fast, you're not chewing enough, or your digestive system is lacking the enzymes or the beneficial bacteria to break down your food, you will end up with some inflammation because that food's going to sit there. And those food molecules can bubble back up, especially if you have acid reflux, and especially if you have silent acid reflux. So at night, food is going from your stomach and refluxing up into your esophagus. Sounds super gross, but this happens to a lot of people and they have no idea. And that is a cause for chronic nasal congestion, can also be a cause for chronic headaches and migraines. We just don't connect it often, which is crazy because the Chinese knew this all along. In Chinese medicine, we have a stomach channel running right through our sinuses. Sounds weird, but the digestive system channel runs right through the sinuses. Stomach one is a point right by the eye. Stomach two also. Three and four are just below the eye. Six is at the corner of the mouth. I mean, you could just go right down the system. It's kind of cool. But what it's saying here is that your sinuses are directly connected to your gut. If you have leaky gut, meaning your gut lining is irritated because either A, you've been eating Frankenfood, or B, you can't break down your food properly and large molecules sit on your gut lining, causing the cells to open up, molecules to get in the bloodstream, and then immune system reaction. This is a total possibility. Leaky gut is real. I'm telling you. So the more that you have molecules of food getting into the bloodstream, the more your body's hypersensitive to these items. Now, you became sensitive in the gut, but now imagine you put the food into your mouth. As soon as that food gets into your mouth, your body is already going, whoa, wait a minute, I don't like this. I've seen this before. I don't like it. That is going to cause a histamine reaction in your mouth. So you might get a scratchy throat, but you also might get a runny nose. You also might get sinus congestion right away. Or it might take a couple days to develop. Or it might be overnight. I challenge you tonight to see what you're like when you wake up in the morning. Is your nose stuffy? If it is, you want to look back at your food and you want to look back at what's happening in your bedroom environment. Do you have animals sleeping with you? Do you have covers on your mattress and your pillows? You need those if you have congestion issues, if you have headache, if you have migraine issues. Every single one of you that have those, you need to go get some covers and they're called allergy covers. Allergy covers for pillows, allergy covers for your mattress. It's easy to find. Amazon, it's where it's at. What do we do before Amazon? Yikes. Okay, so all of that happening, you get this food in your mouth, right, that you're sensitive to, and now you have a cascade of reactions happening. And so I have a lot of people in my practice that have been going back and forth to the ear, nose, and throat doc, and they've got chronic sinus congestion, and the doc's like, well, we need to do surgery because those tissues are inflamed and there's not much else we can do. We can just kind of move the mucus out of there and move it around, get it out. Which, if you have coagulated mucus in your sinuses, absolutely get that stuff out of there. Absolutely. But if you're kind of suffering with just minor nasal congestion and trying to figure it out, I definitely am going to recommend that you work on reducing all of the inflammatory causes that could be provoking your sinus issues. So essentially, the idea is to reduce the body's immune system stress. And there's multiple different ways to go about this, but really, in my practice, I like to take the multifaceted role, meaning I want to remove every possible allergen that you may have that you can control out of the environment that you live in, and see if that helps to improve your nasal congestion, see if it helps to improve headaches and migraines. So let me give you a little example of what I've seen in my patients, what I've seen in myself, and how we work with it. So for example, I know directly for myself, if I have too much dairy, I'm going to get nasal congestion. This is very common for a lot of people because dairy products are hard to break down. They're also cold for the most part, and they're also something called damp in the Chinese world, which is an extension of difficult to break down. And these items get in your gut, they sit for a while, and you get more inflammation reaction, meaning more histamines, more mucus. And when you get more mucus, there's always the possibility for bugs that you inherently have in your system to grow, because they love mucus as a medium. It's like food for them. So let's step back here. I know dairy, I know wheat cause problems, and for me, corn. If I eat any of those items, I'm going to wake up the next morning pretty stuffy. My husband in particular notices that if he drinks enough beer, he is going to have a sinus issue the next morning, especially if it's a hoppier, higher quality beer, which sounds weird, but higher amounts of wheat, higher amounts of hops, higher percentage of alcohol. Alcohol is hard on your gut. It does also cause irritation, which causes histamine reactions, and boom, you can get some chronic sinus congestion, some sinusitis, things of that nature. So that's an example of myself and my husband, just to kind of bring it in. A lot of you might even notice that there's certain things that you do that provoke sinus congestion. For some people, it's when their animals sleep with them. So thinking of that. So we need to reduce the body's immune system stress. And by doing that, it's going to help with the congestion, the headaches, and the migraine. So number one, you want to really look at your diet and make a journal. See what causes congestion. If you have no freaking clue and it seems like you're always congested, I highly recommend a food sensitivity test to see what's up. There's US Biotech, there's Genova, there's multiple different companies out there. I think it's absolutely huge to know, do you have some sensitivities that you need to work with first? Because if you can take those things out, then your sinuses get better, boom, awesome. So that's number one, look at the food. Also, get rid of the Frankenfood. Eat food that's closest to nature. Huge. I talk about it all the time on here. I'm not going to go into it in detail. I've got podcasts that talk all about that if you want more information. All right. Next, you want to be looking at environmental stuff. If your house is freaking dusty because you haven't dusted in a while, boom, go take care of that. Now, I don't recommend using all of the smelly, dusty spray stuff like Glades, and I don't think it's Glade. I don't even know what the brand is anymore because I haven't used it myself for so long. You want to get old-fashioned here. Get out a rag, dampen the rag a little bit, dust like that. Consider using a oil. We use lemon or orange oil on our wood tables and things of that nature. So go with a green cleaner to dust. Also clean your house. One of the biggest factors in sinus congestion and migraines and headaches for a lot of people is having carpets. I highly recommend, if you can, get rid of your carpets. I know that sounds crazy. Go down to hardwood. Also, if you have a lot of rugs, might want to consider getting those out of the house. The throw blankets, those too. These are all collectors of dust and collectors of mites, dust mites. Sounds gross, but hey, they live off of our skin and they like to hang around. So you want to remove as many allergens as possible. Now, of course, I don't recommend that you have to go do this right away, like go get everything. Maybe start with food, but clean the house regularly, at least once a week. Vacuum, clean up the floors, dust. It's huge. It'll make a big difference. Try not to have as many rugs and things around the house if you can. If not, vacuum those suckers. If you have carpet, at least clean your carpet. So deep clean, have the cleaners come in and do that at least once every 3 to 6 months just to get that deep clean done, especially if you have animals. Next biggie, with animals, those of you who are super sensitive to the animals but you love them dearly, work on just having them stay outside your bedroom at night. It can really go a long way to help desensitize you. And really, you know what? Sometimes you can do this for a couple months and then you're good to go. You can have them back in for a little bit. Granted, that's confusing to the animals. So if anything else, I mean, at least keep them off your bed if you're having some pretty serious issues. If you can't do that, like me, okay, fine. Work on everything else. Now, I talked about the carpets. I talked about that. I also really, anyone who has nasal congestion, chronically headaches, migraines, you got to get rid of the perfumes and the perfumed lotions and all of that stuff. Unless it's 100% natural essential oils, get rid of it, because all of those frankincenses, like the Glades and the Glade plugins and artificial smells, are also irritants to your system. Get those out. If you just moved in a new home, not that your home's new, but it's new to you and you've started to have issues, you might want to consider mold testing in your home, especially if you live somewhere that's damp. It's huge. Unfortunately, I will go through everything in terms of food stuff, et cetera, do a blood test for antibodies for molds, and boom, this is the issue. They've got molds in their house or they're sensitive to certain molds that they're in at their workplace too. That's another big issue, is I found that people are fine at home, but they're sitting below a vent at work that hasn't been cleaned out in years. This stuff is important. You can easily get mold testing through a naturopathic doctor or even your conventional docs. They will do mold testing. You got to go through the ear, nose, throat or an allergist, but they will do it. You can get immediate and delayed sensitivity mold reaction testing. If you're struggling with that and you can't find somebody to help you out, shoot me a message. Connect with me on drjkrausnd.com. Leave a comment or a message on my website. I'd love to hear from you. By the way, please send me more messages and questions. I like to answer questions. All right. So I've talked about all the different ways to reduce issues in the home. Now, another big thing is if you're kind of wondering about food, but you don't want to shell out the cash for a food sensitivity test, you could cut out yeast, dairy, gluten, corn, soy, and sugar from your diet and see what happens. And when I say gluten, and I'm also meaning alcohol, because a lot of our hard alcohols are gluten-based, and of course beer is. Wine, yeast-based. Beer, yeast-based. So take out the alcohol too, because it's a high histamine item that can definitely cause issues with our sinuses and cause us to have headaches and migraines related to sinus irritation. Now, another biggie is considering a low histamine diet, because a lot of us get on kicks where we eat a lot of foods that are higher histamines. I'm not going to go into all the high histamine foods. I have a podcast related just to that, and you can gather all that information. I also have a resource of a high histamine list, and that's on my resources page at drjkrausnd.com. So head over there. Now, another biggie is what you cook your foods in and what you expose yourself to in the kitchen. Get rid of the plastics, get rid of the toxins in your kitchen, the Teflon, the scratch Teflon, all that stuff. Go get ceramic cookware, green pan, green life pan. All those products are great. Ceramic coating, get rid of the Teflon, because all that stuff irritates you. Same thing goes with dry cleaning. I've had a lot of patients that I clean up the diet, I get all the inflammation out of their home, so inflammation factors out of their home, and they still have nasal congestion, and then we figure out it's their freaking dry cleaning. So you want a green dry cleaning company. They have certifications for green dry cleaning. Just look at the website of the place that you use and make sure it says green dry cleaning. Or if you're like me, just don't buy dry cleaning products, because I'm too lazy to take things to the dry cleaner, so I just wash them. Speaking of washing, that's another big thing. Make sure that when you're washing products, you know, so your soaps, all of that stuff, you have green companies for your soaps. I think that that can be a big major factor for a lot of people too, especially with their bedding, because you spend the most time in bed during the evening in your home. And so bedding, clothing, all of that, make sure that you're using green companies for your laundry, in particular, in addition to your hand soap, in addition to your body soap. I use a company called Purify for my shampoo, my conditioner, my hand soap, my body soap, and my dish soap. And in terms of laundry detergent, I just totally spaced on the company I have. I know it's lemongrass. It's lemongrass essential oil. I think it's eco something. Laundry detergent. I'm going to Google it real quickly while I'm online with you. It's Ecos, E-C-O-S. There you go. That's the company that I use for my laundry detergent. So there you have it in terms of the laundry. So keep that in mind. Those are big things. Another biggie is intermittent fasting. So sometimes the amount of food that we eat too much in a serving. I think a lot of us overeat when we eat. We just love, I mean, I love food, and it's hard for me to portion control. But I think for a lot of us, when we don't portion control well, that food sits and it doesn't break down. That's another big issue. Plus, I think that our bodies need some chill time in between last meal and first meal. And so from dinner to breakfast. And so I always recommend at least a 12-hour minimum between dinner and breakfast to let your body have the time to break down these foods. Because if we keep pumping in food and keep giving food and keep giving food, think of it as a conveyor belt that gets overloaded. Then we can have congestion issues too. So biggie, keep that in mind as well. The next thing is probiotics, beneficial bacteria. I like to think of beneficial bacteria for your mouth and your gut. There's two different types. There's actually two different products that you could use in particular, because the bacteria in your mouth is different from the bacteria going down your esophagus into your whole digestive system, which is kind of crazy and cool at the same time. So how do you balance that? Well, we want good oral health first and foremost. You want to make sure that you're brushing your teeth at least twice a day, at least. But of course, you could also do it after lunch, after meals too, to keep that mouth extra clean. And in terms of toothpaste and that, I am somewhat a fan of making sure that we still have fluoride. I might be a weird naturopath, but I did notice when I was using the natural toothpaste without fluoride, guess what? I got cavities. And I think that was related to me not using dairy and not having a lot of fluoride, because I also filter my water. So who knows? Just something I'm going to put out there. So I am back to using regular toothpaste. I obviously really rinse well, but something to just put that in your head. But the main factor is we don't know the connection between toothpaste and balance of our oral flora. And I'm not going to go into that today. But that being said, I really find more than anything that to keep your oral flora healthy, it's keeping your mouth clean, flossing your teeth, and just not eating so much sugar and junk food. Now, some people talk about oil pulling and all that. I can't speak on whether that's helpful for the flora of your mouth. But that being said, if you are someone who has issues with chronic strep throat or throat irritation, one of the best ways that I've found to help with my folks that have chronic sinus congestion and chronic headaches and migraines is to do a salt water rinse every evening after brushing the teeth. And so taking a quarter teaspoon of salt, sea salt, in a tablespoon or so of water, warm water, just gargling through the whole mouth and then spitting it out. Don't swallow it. And I find that to be really beneficial for a lot of folks. So that's my tidbit on keeping the beneficial bacteria healthy in your mouth. Now, I have a podcast all about products in terms of probiotics specifically for the mouth and throat. If you are suffering with chronic strep throat, halitosis, things of that nature, check that podcast out. All right. Now, probiotics for the gut. My favorite probiotic company is Claire Labs, and they have something called Vital 10. It is a simple probiotic that you can use to help to start balancing the flora. It has all the goodies in terms of the most beneficial for breaking down food. So, all that being said, my main idea of this podcast today was really to get you thinking about the fact that your sinus congestion is not always related purely to just allergies. Like, a lot of people think it's just environmental allergies like ragweed, dust, pollens, things of that nature. I really want you to think about the fact that it could be that you're not digesting your food well. Look at your tongue. See if you have a thick coat on your tongue. And by that, I mean thick white or yellow. And sometimes some people have gray and black coats. That's a major bad sign that you're not breaking down food well. So take a look at that. And if you notice that, you really want to move up the time that you eat your dinner. Try to make sure that you're eating at least 3 hours before you go to lay down at night. Make sure that you've got that 12 hours at minimum of fasting overnight to let your body break down food properly. Consider digestive enzymes like Digestive Enzymes Ultra by Pure Encapsulations. That's a company that I highly recommend. I'll put that at the end of my podcast resources there on my website at drjkrausend.com, so you can find that in my podcast notes. But I highly recommend considering that too if you are really struggling with the sinus congestion. Then consider food sensitivity testing, or consider eliminating some of the common allergens such as dairy, gluten, corn, soy, sugar, and yeast. Try that out. And I recommend at least a month to 3 months of avoiding those, then reintroducing them one at a time. And you introduce them one, then wait 72 hours and see if you get any more sinus congestion. And then last but not least, cleaning up the house. A lot of us don't really think about how our dirty houses relate to the overall histamine production in our bodies. So do a once over in your house. If you have to, get a maid to come in, save some cash. You know, maybe you call your mom. you know, maybe mom wants to help you out if you're struggling with that. But I highly recommend looking at it as not just environmental things outside your home. Look within your home, look within what you're eating, and you'll see that there might be some clues to help you out with your sinus congestion. Now, I would love to hear from you all as to if you do have sinus congestion, you do have headaches or migraines, and how you did with changing up some things. Shoot me some comments. If you like it, you hate it in terms of the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to help out. And I still am looking for more questions. So if there's something that you've got health-wise that you want to know more about in terms of a symptom or even just a question, maybe you got a friend of a friend that's got an issue, you know what I'm talking about, send me a message. I'd love to hear about it and answer it on my podcast. So there you have it. You have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I am your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausend.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the join group button on our website at drjkrausend.com.